Let's be seated. Am I okay, Miss Ashley? Okay. Praise the Lord. I have to check with Ashley or else I can't operate without Miss Ashley. Just a couple of things before we get started with prayer. November 15th, the boxes have to be in, the Christmas boxes. I do want to say that. Dan asked me to remind you about that. The other thing, we want to keep Harry in prayer. Harry is not doing too well. I think Donna wrote it yesterday. He's got COVID brain, and that means he can't remember nothing. So we want to keep in prayer. And obviously, Jan has got COVID too. But Jan has got a real light version. I just don't know what's light and what's not. But, I mean, she's home by God's grace. So we want to keep that in prayer. And before we pray this morning, you know, as a pastor, I get a lot of phone calls about what's going on in the world. So I like to answer things biblically. It's just the way I'm wired, because sometimes my opinions are not the best thing to formulate things. But I think answering things scripturally, and I want to just, before we pray this morning, before we pray and contemplate, I want to read a couple of verses from Isaiah, and I want you to just listen to these verses in light of everything that's going on in the world today. I want you to listen to these verses. In the year of King Uzziah's death. Now, King Uzziah was a king who was for the people. He was a godly king. But the end of his life, he wanted to step out of his kingship and become a priest. He went into the sanctuary and 80 priests had to grab him out. But he was a good king till the end of his life. He was disobedient. He wound up getting leprosy. But when he died, you know, the country was in an uproar because he was a godly king and he did a lot for the nation, even though at the end of his life we all have flaws. But in the year of King Uzziah, in the year of his death, Isaiah, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the trainer's robe filling the temple. Seraphim, angels, holy angels, stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew, and one called out to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." God is on the throne no matter what's going on in this world. That's who's on the throne. And that's what we have to focus on. In the year that King Uzziah died, there was still somebody on the throne. And no matter what's happening in this world, he's on the throne. Let's stand. Dear Lord, we are so thankful that you are on the throne. Despite everything that's going on in this world, you are ruling and reigning. And I beg you, Lord, as brothers and sisters and sons and daughters of Christ, that I pray that you put in our spirit that nothing is out of your purview. You are controlling everything in this world. And we praise and thank you for whatever happens in this world because you know better than we do. And you put people in place and you take people down. And that's what you've been doing, Lord, since the beginning of time. So we thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty. We thank you for sending your Son for your people. We thank you for the Spirit that you give us so we can understand. And we thank you, Lord, for just being the God who reigns, who rules and reigns, high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's be seated for a second. Just before we ask Miss Marilyn to bring us into the service, let us repent of our sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins as we get prepared to hear the preached word of God. Just pray for each other, man. When you're home, sometimes you may just think about somebody in the church. Just pray for them. We need to pray for each other. And two things I want to say before I turn it over to Ms. Marilyn. One thing, I exhort my fellow brother and sisters, to attend the Bible study on Sunday morning with Harlan and Ben and Dana at times. These are good, solid studies. And we come there as a people of God. And Wednesday night, I mean, we just break it down, and we just talk as a community and try to navigate what's going on in this world. So with that, Ms. Marilyn, please.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to the 40th division in the Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's open up here, if I may, 40th division. We are continuing, I think it's our 21st week or the 20th week in the Epistle to the Hebrews. I'm hoping to do Amos next. I just don't know. We still got a little ways to go here, but I'm hoping to do an Old Testament book next time. So I'm praying about to do Amos maybe. So we'll see how that goes. But right now we still have a little ways left in Hebrews. Remember I've mentioned this before, is that the best chance we have of understanding the Old Testament is in light of how the New Testament authors looked back on it and what it meant to them. Because otherwise, if we're just thinking what it means to us, that's not what this is about. It's how it was meant to the original audience there and how the New Testament writers who were prophets, how they applied it to themselves. So that's how we get the best chance to apply it to ourselves. Because otherwise, Harlan, we're all over the map, you know. We can just say it, you know, this is what this means for me, this is what it means for you. That's not the way text is interpreted. We can't say this text means this for me and that for you. That's not the way it is. Text has got one absolute truth. That's why it's so important when we study the Old Testament, we want to know what it means. And what better way to know what it means if we go to the New Testament and the prophets of the New Testament tell us, hey, this is what this means. That's how we know. Otherwise, then we're all over the map. And then the Bible becomes something that is for our own interpretation. And it's for our own interpretation if we are doing good exegesis, if we are turning around and understanding the scriptures rightly. So there's a couple of verses here in the psalm, in this 40th psalm that I want to read. Because the writer of Hebrews is going to deal with this. So let me start in the 6th verse, 40 and 6, just 6, 7, and 8, 3 verses. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have dug opened, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Obedience, that's what is required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, your law is within my heart. There is a lot there. There is a lot there. In fact, the writer of Hebrews is going to take us to a deeper meaning here. But I'm going to try to explain it as best as I can, and then we'll kind of line it up here. Now, in the old Levitical system, as we know, sacrifices and offering played a huge part in Israel's history. In adherence to the worshiping of God, right? They would take animals, they would sacrifice them, they would confess of their sins, and they would worship. That would be their worship service, right? Now, in this section of the psalm, David literally has his ears dug open. Basically, when I was thinking about that, I said, basically, it will not go in one ear and out the other, right? Right, because he has his ears dug open. That's the original language, right? Because it's something God wants David to recall. To recall, to think about, right? And we'll look at the lesson. What's the lesson? The lesson is that any sacrifice must come from the heart and must conform to the will of God, not to be mere ritual or formality or going through the motions. Listen, I've said it before. Sometimes we can come here and go through the motions. Sometimes we can read our Bible and just go through the motions. So this is a different aspect. So he's actually digging David's ears and say, listen, ritual, sacrifice, that's not what's important. What's important is obedience. Obedience. Now, this is going to take on a huge ramification of who's going to be obedient. But it's a great lesson for us that obedience is what this is about. Now, a lot of religion today is external. It's not in conformity with what God desires. Outward religion, going through the motions, does not reveal a changed heart. We all know the words, praise the Lord, glory to God, how you doing? Well, brother, you, my sister. Be careful. And we want to do those things, but we want it to come from within. See, what outward religion does, it massages the incurable disease of sin. It only massages, right? You need to have your ears dug open, right? But think about that. A lot of religion today, like I said, is external. Now, these inventions, these external motivations, right, are motivated by cultural norms. They're enlightened by wanting to be politically, socially correct. Jesus called those who practice such, what did he call them? Whitewashed tombs, right? All outward stuff, whitewashed tombs, right? Meal offerings and sacrifices were only outward. Were only outward. In fact, I was looking at this morning, trying to make, kind of doing something culturally that we could understand right now in this time. We can hide behind religion, like wearing a mask. Okay, I figured you would get it. Right, we can hide behind religion like wearing a mask, so to speak. You do not really get to see the whole person. But I must remember that God sees behind our masks. You know, you don't get a chance to use a mask like this. I mean, this is a cultural. God sees behind our masks. That's a serious issue. He sees behind our masks. Outward religion is not going to get it. This section of the 40th Psalm will have huge ramifications concerning the Christian faith. It would be a parabolic message disclosed by the writer of Hebrews. What God here has done in verse 6 is dug into the ears of David a point of realization between the external formality and true internal obedience. See, the external and internal are huge. You can't tell the difference. Only God knows your heart. You can walk in here and say the hallelujahs. You can do this. The end of the day, it's internal by the Spirit. And that's the challenge. But there's more here. So watch this. But this psalm points to a larger picture that is one of the most profound evidences of what it means to be in total commitment to God. Now, anybody familiar with the Septuagint? The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Now, this is important because when we get to the section in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is going to use the Septuagint, because the Septuagint says, I've given my body. My body has been given. Meaning, but think about this. I want you to think about the metaphor here. If your mom tells you to throw the garbage, you hear it, right? Well, you're supposed to hear it, right? But when you throw the garbage, you use what? Your whole body, right? Now, think about that, because I want you to see where this is important stuff. That's why we have to go to the Old Testament first. In the Septuagint, uses the word body instead of the ear, which the writer of Hebrews will use, pointing to Christ. Total obedience unto death for his people. Not my will, but yours. And when you read this, listen, if you read this, there's no way that you can read this without in reading the Old, New Testament and going back to understand there's more here than meets the eye or than meets the ear. Right? There's more here. And we're going to show that. We're going to prove that. What God has done, like I said, he gives David a point of realization, right? So, Christ's total obedience unto death for his people, not my will but yours, he told the Father. This points us forward to the new covenant where God would write the laws upon the heart of his true believers. We've studied this in Jeremiah. Now, you read this and it sounds convoluted. It sounds mixed up, right? But I'm going to show you how we have to read the Bible as a whole, right? So just give me a second. Now, Christ is at the center. He's the bridge that connects the old covenant with the new covenant, which would eventually incorporate Jew and Gentile alike. Remember in Galatians 6, what does Paul say? What does Paul say? He calls God's people the Israel of God, Jew and Gentile alike, sharing this common salvation as God in Christ saves us. It is through his obedience that he hears the cry of God's people. And it is his body that he brings as the ultimate sacrifice for which this psalm points. What a picture of Christ's commitment to his people. Now listen, he didn't have to do this for you. You have nothing coming. I got less. I wonder how much we really appreciate what Christ has done for us. This is a serious question. I mean, everybody in here. What the Lord is telling David is you have to give your whole life, just like pointing to someone else who is going to give their whole life for his people. Listen, think about this. If you're a Christian today, you've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. But how much do we realize that? Or how much do we give back, right? I want to say this. I want to mention, as Van Gemeren reminds us, that this commitment by David was a type of the obedience of Christ unto death, as we will see what the writer of Hebrews says. Now, let me just come down before we read this. There's a lot here. So I don't expect you to read those verses and connect, right? But I'm going to show you how they connect. So what we did was, because if you read those verses in the psalm, you might say to yourself, wow, yes, David's being obedient to the Lord, which he has to, but it's pointing farther. It's pointing to a distance of when Christ is going to be obedient to the Lord for his people, for his people. So let's go to the writer of Hebrews. Now remember, he's using the Septuagint. He's using the Septuagint. He's using the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And, you know, I'll tell you guys, I'm reading through the Septuagint now. It'd be good for you guys to get the Septuagint, to read it. I mean, it's the Greek version of the Hebrew Bible, and it's obviously in English. But sometimes the words are a little different because the Hebrew words are hard to translate. But this is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is using here. Now watch what he does here. Now watch, he's going to use these texts, what I just read, so you don't think I'm some crazy person, and saying, but how do you get this? How do you get this from what we're reading here concerning Christ? Let's see. We trust our authors, our divine authors here. Starting in the first verse of chapter 10, listen closely. Let's dig out each other's ears. For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. Something else was needed. The sacrifices, right? They're not good enough. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sin. But those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. In other words, it doesn't affect the heart. It's mere formality. It's outward religion. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. See how we're kind of lining this up? Therefore, when he comes into the world, when who comes into the world? Yes, he says, sacrifice. Listen, this is great. Sacrifice an offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Man, praise the Lord for that. After saying above, sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. The first covenant to establish the second. By this, we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. There's no reason again for a sacrifice for sin. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. And by one offering, he has perfected for all time. Listen, if you're a Christian, you've been perfected for all time, those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying this covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And then he says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Nor now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there's no longer any offering for sin. He's done it. He is your sin offering. I mean, this is amazing. And here we line this up, right, with what we just read about. Now, there's a lot here. But one thing we must notice right off the bat is that the blood of bulls and goats were not enough. Were not enough, right? In acquittal of eternal sin or perfection. Let me say, the sacrifices were only a form or an image to come. It was a picture where reality is reflected. But it was only a reflection of reality. See, bulls and goats were what? Now, let me make my point. It was outward religion, Carolyn. It was all outward. I mean, if you've seen it, it was the ceremonies, and they were beautiful, and they were necessary, but they all pointed to who? To Christ. Because Christ does a heart change. See, he takes a heart of stone, and he makes it a heart of flesh. See, bulls and goats can't do that. People just come in Sunday because they're checking boxes and crossing T's, whatever you want to say, or coming. That ain't going to change you. You need a heart change. I need a heart change. Outward religion is not going to get it. That's why the Lord digs the ears open to David. He says, listen, sacrifice and meal offering, you can do that all day. I'm looking for obedience, Cece. I need obedience. But then we say, well, what is God, some type of taskmaster? Wait a minute. Time out. Who was the first obedient one for you? It was Christ. He went. His ears were dug open. And he went for his people, and he went to the cross. Far be it from us that we're just going to, you know, think about we can do. I mean, listen, you can't do anything to get saved, but the way you live shows if you're truly saved. So it's not about works. That doesn't save you, but good works show that you're saved, right? Because sin is eternal. And it is caused by humanity against the holy God. The blood of bulls and goats would not do. It had to come by way of perfection, enter the God-man Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Because, listen, bulls and goats were not willing participants. You think they would say, hey, I'm ready? No. Right? They didn't have a moral choice in giving themselves for sin. It could not bring a once and for all sacrifice, verse 2. But Christ did, willingly, became sin, who knew no sin, so we can become the righteousness of Christ. This is not a reflection or an image of reality, it's a reality. Listen, here's the deal. He owes you, me, absolutely zero, nothing. Miss Ashley, he owes us nothing. Realize what this God in Christ did for you. I mean, you got to think about this. You got to be good thinkers. Perception. Have your ears dug open. Realize. Have a realization. What? Listen, if you're a Christian today, here's the deal. If you really believe what Christ has done for you, the question is how you're living. Listen, he tells the psalmist, you want to bring me lambs? You want to go to church? You want to do this? That's okay, but I want to see some true obedience. I want to know if your ears have really been dug open. That's the original language. And then I love the writer of Hebrews. He goes a step further from the Septuagint. He says, listen, we have a God who gave his body. Not only did he listen to do for his people, but he did by giving his body. We can listen all day. You can listen to me all day long. But are we doing? Are we living our life for the person and the second person of the Trinity who died for your sins? And that's a challenge, because you know what happens? It goes one ear and out the other. Don't name that the message, Nikki, one ear and out the other, right? But it does, and it really does, right? Last week we looked at Christ's sacrifice being non-pro-tunc, meaning now for them. As Christ sacrificed now in the New Testament, it was also for them in the Old Testament. As mentioned, quoting from the Septuagint, the 40th Psalm, verses 6 and 8, is applied to the life and obedience of Christ, because what Christ did was not ritual. It wasn't formality. It was a forfeited life. Listen, please hear this. If you are a Christian, you are bought with a price. And this is what the... Kimmy, listen. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake to just be... to do things formality. In some type of just having a formality of religion. I mean, Kimmy, we have to make sure that our ears have been dug open, that we are being obedient of what Christ has did for us. Obedience can't get you salvation. Again, it shows you you're saved. But the truism is, if you really believe this God in Christ gave his life for you, the question is, how are we living towards that sacrifice? I said it, you know, analogy, I'm not a big... I try to do analogies. I like to do better analogies. But I think about the one that we... You know, like if... You know, I was walking across the street and I don't know, Harlan comes and, you know, pushes me out of the way and Harlan gets hit by the car instead of me. Well, Rachel's going to feel indebted to Harlan's family. Thanks, Harlan. She's going to feel indebted to Harlan's family. Well, basically, that locomotive or that car was going to kill you and send you to hell, me first. But Christ stepped in front of that car for you. It's a done deal, but how are you living in light of that, Heather? That's the question. To me first. How are you living in light of that sacrifice? Has your ears been dug open? And that's the question. And that's how we kind of line this up. I mean, it's a simple gospel. It really is. It was a willing... Think about this. It was a willing, conscious decision, not my will, but your will, by the second person of the Trinity, as the Bible proclaims, because no one can take Christ's life. He gives it on his own according to the sovereign plan of God. Now, I want you to apply this psalm like this. When Christ came into this world through the virgin birth, he came to die willingly, a prepared bodily atonement for sins, a body I have sacrificed for you, according to the will of God. Verse 9, this is how one is made right with God. The writer of Hebrews is stressing the point, there's no other sacrifice for sin that would be accepted or needed. There's no other way to obtain salvation. There is no other way to obtain salvation. This is the only religion or relationship. Christ has got skin in the game, man. Listen, he's got skin in the game. He's put his life for his people. He's just not a, you know, it's not bulls and goats. And I mean, he's got skin in the game. My question is always to me first, and you know, Italians repeat themselves, how serious are we taking this? How serious? Outward religion, whitewashed tombs, Miss Carolyn, we all can walk the walk and talk the talk, all of us. The question is, where's our heart at? Where's our mind at? Who's on our mind 24/7? How much are we realizing what God has done for us in Christ? You know, and this is, again, if somebody in your family was saved by somebody else, you'd be indebted to them in some type of fashion. Sitting at the right hand of majesty, verse 12, as a down payment, verse 13, till all his enemies are put under his feet. As we mentioned, the sacrifice under the old system was inadequate because it failed to meet the true heartfelt devotion that was necessary according to the 40th Psalm. Me first, have your ears really been dug open? Clayton, are we really getting this? Miss Ashley, is this our life? Gene, do we eat, breathe, and sleep Christ? Do we realize what he did for us? Well, do what Luther said. Sin hard, man. Why soft stroke this? Why? Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast demons in your name. I preached in your... I never knew you. But I show what I... It's got to be a heart change, man. Don't kill the messenger. I mean, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons in your name. I don't know you. Right, Judy? Yeah, Judy's going, right? I mean, this is shit. Because have my ears been dug open? It ain't about a prayer. It ain't about, you know, I got baptized when I was 15, or I said, no, this is about a life. You know how, why? Because he forfeited his life for his people. The question is, do we give back? Do we live like somebody has given his life for us? And that's it. Those are questions that the writer of Hebrews is exhorting his people. You know, he's trying to give them the gospel. The writer profoundly tells us that the perfect God-man's willing sacrifices is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to. Because Christ was the true image bearer. Think about the promise that the writer tells us. Listen to this, man. Listen. I got my two girls right in that section. They're they'll give the Pentecostal flavor to this. But think about verse 17. You really want to shout, right? It says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Listen, do you understand? That's quoting from Jeremiah. Do you understand? He doesn't even remember your sins. Do you know why? Why doesn't he remember your sins? Tell me why. He sees Christ. He doesn't look at Heather. He doesn't look at Cammy. He doesn't look at Jean. He looks at his son. If you are truly in his son, he is the one that has stood in your place, Glenda. He doesn't look at Glenda. He doesn't look at Kathy. He doesn't look at Marilyn. He looks at Jesus. You know why? Because Carolyn, Jesus is the sin bearer. See, he's the sin bearer. He gave his life and took your sins. What a, that doesn't, no, it doesn't, right? I mean, wow. I mean, how could just, I mean, so what are we doing? You know, we're preaching the gospel. This is the good news. It's a simple gospel. He gets what you deserve, and you get what you don't deserve. Period. Right? I mean, that's it. Period. And the writer of Hebrews, yes, he's a scholar, he's a theologian, he's inspired by God, but at the end of the day, it's a simple gospel. He gets what you deserve. And where there's forgiveness of sins by Christ, there's no longer any sacrifice needed. You don't have to say five Hail Marys and two Our Fathers. You don't have to walk on your knees or whatever it is. It is a done deal if you're a Christian. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I can walk on my knees. That stuff is hard, man. You ever try to do that? I see some people, this is something they do as penance. They try walking on your knees. Rachel, you want to try? No. It's hard, man. Try to do it. I'm not going to do it because we're on video. They'll think I'm crazy. They'll really think, Ron, you can't walk on your knees. Ron, did you get them Rockports? You didn't get them yet? Okay. That's a story for another day. I was trying to help Ron do some walking when he can walk again. Ron looks like he's doing better today. All right, let's finish up here. Let's go to 19. Remember, the first word we're going to read is what? Therefore. Now, that's important. We know if it's there, right? What's before, right, Carolyn? You know, we go over this on Wednesday nights. Meanwhile, our Wednesday night studies, we go from, was it, Nikki, from 6:30 to 7:30. We've been getting out of there like 10 to 8, 5 to 8. Just, we have nothing else to do in Casa Grande. Where else do you go? Right? So, I think that's Cece laughing. Clayton, we're a boring bunch, man. Clayton says we're all right. We get an all right from Clayton. We're okay. 19. 10 and 19, right? Therefore, here it is, Miss Carolyn. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, now this is big, to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, his body. Since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil heart or from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Listen to that, Rachel. He who was promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, see? Not forsaking, dun, 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 not forsaking our own assembling together, church, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What day? The second coming, the return. That's why we got to be here, right? Therefore, what Christ has done on the cross, he has given us complete, confident access, verse 19, by a new and living way into the presence of God, the King of the universe, forever. We have access. So you know me, I'm saying, I'm a sports guy, right? So I'm thinking about access. What can I use for an example of access? I'm trying to be a better example user, you know? So I was always jealous when I was a kid, because I used to go to a lot of ball games, right? And, you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't afford to get really good seats. Then as I got older, I could, but I just couldn't when I was a kid. And I used to go to the game, and I used to see, I'm getting to something. I'm talking about access, right? And I used to go to the game, and I used to see them guys with them things that said they were part of the press, right? And they would walk right in and get the best seats because they had the credentials. You have access to God because of what Christ has done. You have the press pass. You have the credentials to now go into the Holy of Holies through your prayer life. You have the thing that I always wanted where it said press, and they walked right in and showed and went and sitting. You know, and I'm buying $2.75 seats and sitting, my nose is going to bleed. I'm so high. But meanwhile, you have access. You have a press pass. You can get into the Holy of Holies. And not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by a body, by a sacrifice. And this is exactly what the writer is telling us here. He is our forerunner, our trailblazer, who broke the veil in grace. And by being a great high priest, verse 21, we're now able to draw near with the assurance of faith. Miss Denise, you got access. You can get in. You got the press pass, which I always wanted. And this is important. We go in front of God clean, with full assurance of faith in what God has done in Christ for his people, clearing our sinful conscience. In fact, being in the presence of God was always the idea of true worship in the Old Testament. And that access was granted only with ritual and protocol, but not readily available. Listen, I don't get this. Do you know every time you pray, Chief, listen, every time you pray, Miss Ashley, you enter into the Holy of Holies. That's crazy. Remember, what allowed the priest to go into the Holy of Holies? He had to be what? Cleansed. Good. Cleansed. How do you get into the Holy of Holies? You're clean, of course. Listen, you remember, you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, we don't get this. Kim, when you go before the Lord, you enter into the Holy of Holies where they only can go once a year. And I tell you what, we don't know that to be true, but it was, I think it was from the 3rd century, and I was talking to Kathy about this. Kathy says it makes sense, but I would never say it's true. But they would say, again, something was said, that they would tie like a rope around the high priest. Because if he went in front of the Lord and he wasn't accepted, he'd die. So how are you going to get him out? You can't. I mean, this is just, I don't know if that's the case. But the thing is, if he did die there, nobody can go there to get him. Right, Melva? You couldn't get in. So it would make sense if he had a rope around him. I mean, I don't know. Drag him. Yeah, Kathy says drag him right out, right? Yeah. Every time we pray, we are granted access to the true Holy of Holies. And the Bible says we do this with full assurance. As mentioned, we have a boldness to enter the presence of the living God. Harlan, fellow, no religion teaches this. None. Zero. This is relationship, man. This is in the, you get to, Rachel, you get into the Holy of Holies. Glenda, that's huge. Damn, really? I mean, this is no outward stuff. Look, our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies made clean because he paved the way. He inaugurates salvation. This is all Old Testament shadows now brought into its covenant light. And the writer encouraged us to what? Look at 23. What does he say? Wait a minute. See? Let us what? Heather, hold fast. Let us hold fast to this. You know why? You know why? Because people have a tendency to drift, go away. It's too hard. Not if you have the perception and the mindset that it was already done for you. Hold fast. He's coming. He's returning. Hold fast. I love that. It's just the hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast to what? That's a good question, right? To the confession, right? Hold fast to the confession of Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's coming back for his people. I mean, that's what this is about. Hold fast to that. Cammy, he is coming back for his people. And then that's the confession we have. Listen, we know it doesn't matter. Listen, this is not a political arena. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. But the world today is in an uproar. Even today, we see it. They got nothing to hold fast to. We have a king. We have someone who's high and lifted up. He doesn't need electoral votes. He's the king, the only king. Everyone else comes and goes. He's high and lifted up. And that's, Pop, that's what we have to realize. Our salvation is in no other name. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Nobody. Nobody. This goes way back to the Abrahamic covenant. The true people of God are those who enter by faith to what Christ has done. And that is why the writer exhorts us that because of what Christ has done, what should we do? Hate each other. Love each other. Love each other. It's all we have. Love each other. This is our family. Listen. Just think about this. If you think I'm long-winded, when you get to heaven, suppose Paul gets you in a corner. What are you going to do? Say, I got to leave. I mean, just Gene, do you understand eternity? Do you understand what's at stake here? And you'll hear people say, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, man. And we don't want to fake in the game. Man, Nikki, those kids are being so good. Are they sleeping? Yeah. Oh, it looks like to me, anyway. I think sometimes in our lives, we don't realize how good God is. Because you know why, CC, our lives are so fast, right? I mean, we up in the morning, work, you know, this and that. Who knows? The pastor's bothering Glenda at 7 o'clock in the morning or something, whatever it's going on. I'm, you know, Rachel's trying to get some sleep, and I'm running around like some maniac at 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. But at the end of the day, we don't realize how much is at stake here. there's a lot at stake. You know, we can leave here and it can go one, there it is, Nikki. It can go one ear and out the other, right? Nikki number two, I'm not looking for a name, but I'm saying it can go one ear and out the other. But we don't want that. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake. And I think the writer of Hebrews, what he's... if we understand the context of the writer of Hebrews, I don't believe, he doesn't believe anybody's maybe apostatized as of yet, but he's being very careful. Because even though they haven't yet, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. Now, we believe the true people of God could never apostate. But again, if you're just doing this in outward religion, you may not be a true person of God. Right, Carolyn? Hey, let's say we got to cut the mustard. Right? I mean, we got to do that. We got to challenge each other, Melva. You got to see us on Wednesday night. We're challenging each other. Love each other in the Lord. Now watch this. We must be zealous for good works. In other words, think of ways that we can represent what God has done for us. This does not give us merit, but it gives us credibility. Doesn't give us merit. It gives us credibility. We are seen by those in darkness as ones who now walk in the light. We are countercultural, right? Now, we don't put down people in the world, but we represent the what? The true and living way that has been opened for us to all who acknowledge Christ. We represent the true and living way to the world, hoping that some may come to repentance, right? That's our thing. Look at the 40th Psalm again. We saw the true obedience of sacrifice came in the way of a mortal living being, the Son of God, very God of very God. Now here's how we line this up. We actually enter into God's presence as we draw near to Him in prayer and supplication. Right? We have that press pass. We can get in now. A new and living way is available through the redemptive work of Christ. And then it says, some have neglected to meet. Some have neglected to forsake the assemblies. Let's put COVID aside. Let's put that aside. That's a story for another day. But how many people, Pop, how many people, Chief, would rather watch some televangelist than come to church? How many people will say, well, I don't need church. I'm okay. Why do I need to go to church? Bunch of hypocrites anyway. Some of us can be hypocrites. Right? But the Bible tells us, commands us, not to forsake the assemblies. Because Christ meets us here. He meets us here. He tells us to be here amongst the people of God. But church has been replaced today, Harlan, has it not? It's been replaced. We don't need to go to church. We got a TV we can put on. We got a radio we can put on. Be careful. The Bible says, do not forsake the assemblies. Do not forsake it. As what? Look what it says. As is the habit of some. But encourage one another. Because why? Listen, okay, let's do it. We'll do exactly what the Bible says. Christ is coming soon. I'm encouraging you. Get saved if you're not saved, because He's coming soon. That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm here to encourage you. That's what my fellow elders and participants of the body of Christ, we should encourage each other that Christ is coming back. That's what the Bible says. We come here on Sundays, on the Lord's Day, on Wednesdays, to encourage people that Christ is returning. And we study about Him, we love Him, Dick, we praise Him, and we tell people He is coming back. That's what it says. That's what we're doing. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday morning. Our identity, our credibility, comes by way of us gathering together. This is the worship service. We're in the presence of God, a place we need to be. The gospel's proclaimed, song, preaching. I love it. What is it called? The new and living way. This is the way we live our lives, Judy. This is our life. This is our life. The Spirit is represented, proclaimed in the modern day church as it was in the church house in antiquity. Because the day of the Lord's return is upon us. It's drawing near. Not by way of prediction, by modern gurus, but by promise. See, Cammy, we don't know when. We don't know when he's coming back. I can't tell you, and don't believe the hype when these guys will tell you. No, we don't know, but he promises that he will. Wouldn't it be great, Carolyn, Rachel, if right in the middle of a sermon, he comes back? Wow. I mean, right, he just comes. Praise the Lord. Imagine. Right, no, yeah, we don't. And just think, Marilyn, no more pain. I mean, it's over. No more backaches, nothing. I mean, what am I going to say? Wait, Lord, I got 10 more. No, you just come now. I wasn't finished. It's a good way to stop me, right? Thanks. At least Clayton's the only one not laughing. Thank you, brother. I can't say that for your wife. Man. That's one way to shut him up, right, Kim? Okay, I got you too. I'll see you guys on Wednesday. That is why being in church is important and told not to abandon it, because it is here that the new and living way is introduced and one's need for a Savior implored. The prophet Isaiah, I love it. You know what he says? Come to the waters and drink. It is free. It has been paid for. You have a press pass. You have a press pass. I always wanted a press pass. Now I have one, Nikki. Oh, you know what it's like, too? What about the bus passes? How's that one, Rach? What do you mean, no? You didn't have, when you go like that, remember they'd let you on the bus. You don't have to put no money. You were special, right? Take off that mask. I can stumble again. Last line. Last one. Here, let me see what I said. I don't even know if it's... And we see that now, by the accomplished death of Christ, he is the new and living way into God's presence. Now and forever. Listen, you don't only get to go now. Someday you're going to be there forever. 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 You know what I always think about? I got the weirdest thoughts sometimes. What am I going to do in heaven? No, I don't get to preach anymore. Can I still preach? Praise the Lord. What am I going to... What are you laughing at, Kimmy? What am I going to do? I mean, nobody needs salvation. We'll still have Bible studies, Cammy, right? Cammy goes, yes. Sure. He's got... just in closing out, we are going to be in Bible study. We're going to be talking about Balaam or Balaam this week. So I asked Ashley and Cammy to read the 23 and 24 in Numbers? So Cammy tells me, she says, Pastor, I have a lot of questions for you on Wednesday. It's okay. Dan, we might be here till 8:30. Dan, you might as well make some sandwiches. New and living way. He offers us, Kimmy, a new and living way. Harlan, through the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Denise, what a message, man. There ain't no better message in the world. Really. John, he's dug our ears open, but he's given his body for his people. Think about that today. So go home and enjoy some, you know, some meals with your family. You know, if you watch football, whatever you do on a Sunday, Ben, you know, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes to say, thank you, Lord, for giving yourself for me. What a picture, man. Rachel's going to make me macaroni today. She's mandated to do that. By law. But while she's doing it, I wanted to realize what was done for her. Notice how you will serve better in life, in the struggles of your life, in the aggravations of your life, knowing that this is not your home, man. Not your home. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for that press pass. Thank you for that access. Thank you for the access into the temple of the living God. You are the true temple. We are your people, Lord. So I pray, I implore you by your grace, through your spirit. Maybe somebody in here, listen, maybe someone needs salvation. Praise the Lord for that, because you're a new and living way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. But maybe also someone is saved, but they are just on the outer part of the sanctuary right now. Maybe they've just left the building. Maybe they're in a point in their life that they just want to get back in, and they have the press pass. See, they have the way in, but there's so many things that keep us out sometimes. But if they have that press pass, and if they have that spirit, they're going to find their way back in. And I pray, all of us pray, because I know there's people sometimes that stay on the outer side of the sanctuary. Let them realize tonight, Lord, that they have a press pass, that they can get in through the new and living way that was inaugurated by Christ, our trailblazer, our forerunner, who became sin and knew no sin, so that we, his people, can become the righteousness of Christ. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.